astounding a cappella, cool country, and grooving gospel. Let's follow the journey of three singing siblings from Restroom Acoustics to Carnegie Hall.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I love this group, and I want you to know, I'm not kidding when we talk about Restroom Acoustics. Now, I have tried to not include this phrase in my introduction, because anytime I introduce a family, I always say it, and I just feel like I'm a broken record. But family harmony, family harmony. Well, you can't get away from it, so there it is, out front, in the open and center and everything. And we're talking about the Martins, and that would be the brother and two sisters, right. Jonathan, Joyce, and Judy.
Yes.
Hey, I have been wanting to do this for a very, very long time. You don't understand, even before, it's not to make you sound old, but before I got into radio, you guys, I loved your music. And then I got into radio, and then you guys went through a hiatus period, and so I kind of missed rubbing elbows with you as much, and now you're back full circle in this thing, and we love it. Love the sound. We got a new project that's coming.
That's right.
And this interview will make its way there. That plane will land.
Yeah.
But that's also what we call in the professional broadcast world a tease. So stay tuned. The new stuff's on the way. But let's go back to Arkansas.
Okay.
Let's go back to the beginning, and you've told this story. But just to remind folks where you came from, your family, your heritage.
It's three of us children. We're the only three siblings in our family. Mom and Dad are from the Arkansas, South Arkansas, North Louisiana area. That's where they were born and raised. And when I was in the second grade, my dad bought the property that his dad had owned, that he was born and raised on, and moved us back there on that little farm. That farm had a little house on it, about 800 square feet, single wall construction house with no electricity and no running water. And we thought it was fantastic because we were all under the age of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
So we thought it's camping out full time. My mom, I do not know how in the world she did it. But that's where we started singing, back
wow.
there without any distractions of television or much radio at all. Just going to a little local Baptist church there and singing the songs of the church. Our mom sang around the house, and she started teaching us to sing, and it just kind of took off from there.
When some people hear no television and stuff, like I have learned to admire that aspect. Now, growing up, when I heard no television, I heard extreme conservative, fundamentalist kind of raising or rearing. Was it that? Was it kind of a religious thing? Or
it
not?
Wasn't for our family. It was strictly that we had nowhere to plug it in because we didn't have electricity.
Right.
And
yeah.
So without having electricity, there wasn't any way to have a television.
Yeah. And that was for close to 4 years that we were in that particular house. When we moved into a home, Dad had a house built on the property that did have electricity and did have running water. And when we got into that house, I remember us sitting down as a family and saying, okay, now we have a place to plug in the television. Should we get one?
Right.
And we talked about how busy our life was and where in the world would we fit in time to actually watch it. And we decided as a family not to have it because we didn't see where we could fit it in.
And so after we went without from my second grade year, I did not have a television in my home until I got married.
Wow.
So most of my childhood and my young adult, you know, life was without a television.
So is it funny to know now that you're on million-selling DVDs on network
That's
television?
That's very surreal. Yeah.
Irony,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
We're talking to the Martins on this edition of Daniel Britt and Friends.
Get you down. If you're doing too much looking at the sin and sorrow going round, don't it make you want to cry? Well, I cry some myself, and I've learned a little lesson how to set my sights on something else.
I wouldn't lie to you.
I could worry and pout in the shadow of doubt, but I
we stumble, never-ending love, no matter what. And he may fix and get changed.
Here on Daniel Britt and Friends. It's interesting, and I kind of had forgotten that part of your story, that the timing of all of this, just 3 days ago, I heard a statistic, and they were saying on the radio that I think it's like 36 hours a week is the average that people watch television. And that's like almost a full-time work week. You know, television watching. It's like, you know, it's not, and people were saying, you know, where do we, how do you have so much time to write? This one person they were interviewing says, because I don't really watch television. So therefore, it's not that I don't have any more than 24 hours like you do. It's just that I maximize. So we're not criticizing television.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, it's my choice too. I have a TV. I just don't pay for cable because I think it's a waste of money because I never watch it. So, you know, and some people are different and they have different passions and hobbies and interests.
Absolutely.
But I do see the value there of if you're not watching TV, you're doing something else. You're out in the yard playing as a kid, or you're learning to sing and entertain yourself.
And you know
yourself.
What? I honestly believe God had a plan for our life. And in that plan, He took away all the distractions, everything that might would have taken us off of that path. And so somebody else's plan is going to be shaped totally different and be a different color. Mm. But that's what ours looked like.
The Martins are with us, Joyce, Judy, and Jonathan. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Only God knows when your heart's been broken. Only God knows all the times you've cried. Only God knows every fear unspoken. Only God knows what you're feeling inside. Only God knows what you're feeling inside. Only God knows when your heart's been broken. Only God knows all the times you've cried. Only God knows every fear unspoken. Only God knows what you're feeling inside. Only God knows what you're feeling inside.
There's no greater love than when a brother lays listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. My guests today are the Martins, Joyce, Jonathan, and Judy.
Okay, so who's the oldest?
I am. Thank you for asking.
Okay, now, before we go any further, I didn't know this answer, and I thought, all right, they just told me that Joyce is typically the most punctual, and then the first question, she's the one that took the lead on. So
there you go.
If you've studied, she's the oldest. She's always been found the out front.
That's right.
If you've studied Dr. Kevin Lehman, the birth order,
it's a blessing and a curse.
That's right. And I am one as well. So there you go. So who's the baby?
I am.
The late one.
Yes.
The late one.
The late one. There you go. And Jonathan's the troubled middle child, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So from Arkansas, eventually, is the history that I know, eventually, I know there's a lot of hard work and, you know, childhood and stuff that goes on in there, but eventually there's kind of a bathroom at a church or a
bathroom
venue,
audition.
A bathroom audition because the acoustics and the tile in there. But let's not get there quite yet. So you guys... What was your childhood going into your teenage years? What was this like as far as singing? How far and wide did you travel? How serious were you about your music, or was it just a continued entertainment?
Sure, it was mainly a regional thing for a long time during our junior high and beginning our senior high school years. But we did begin to travel more easterly into North and South Carolina, up into the Virginias and Pennsylvania. And it began to take a toll on our ability to attend school. A lot of the week. So we were kind of approached, I think our parents were approached by our principal and our superintendent in our school district and said, your children are great students, but they're missing a lot of days. We've got to remedy this and what's going to happen. It was during that time that our mom and dad and us three sat and talked about it and decided that it would be a good time to consider going into full-time ministry. We did do that, and we began homeschooling and finished high school through homeschooling and taking GEDs and just surrendered our lives as teenagers. I was 14. If I remember correctly, when we surrendered into full-time ministry and just hit the road. And that's where it really, from that point, being tied down to being in a public school, we're able to travel wherever, and it began to really spread at that time.
Did your parents, were they on the road with you?
Our mom was mainly our mom, because our dad would work. And then she began to, I got 16, Joyce was 17, and I got a little bit older, and we were both driving. Mm-hmm. We did start traveling, just the three of us, mm-hmm. as teenagers, all over the country.
Was there ever a moment where it's like, you know, you're a family, but I'm kind of tired of you?
Every day. No, it happens. It happens at either, at a weekend-long event like what we're doing now. Our weaknesses and things that we do well and not so well between each other tend to rub each other because it happens because we all each have responsibilities, and if one goes lacking, even traveling down the highway, somebody needs to stop for whatever reason, and you feel like you got to get there, and and you just have those moments where we rub each other.
It's just normal.
Exactly. It's not anything Absolutely. Different than anybody else has to deals with in their family with each other.
I do have a lot of my friends though that say, "How in the world do you travel with your brother and sister?"
Right.
They wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to God's grace because He mm-hmm. knows we have to. Mm-hmm. We have to do that, and God gives us the grace to be able to do it.
So, and I think a lot of people asking that question, too, may have a totally different kind of relationship with their siblings.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I think the foundation that you guys have
had
all along.
Oh, and we do love each other.
Yeah.
I would rather travel with them than anybody else that I can think of. I mean, honestly.
Most days.
Most days.
Yeah.
But that's how
right.
it works.
Yeah.
Because we do love each other.
Well, it's the old thing, the people you love the most, you're usually the rudest to and the most
absolutely.
Awful to, because you feel more open, I guess, or you're just more used to, but you think of a quartet that's more and more of a professional working business. They're crammed on a bus together, but they have this kind of coworker type respect. You guys are coworkers, but you're family and you got it all going
it's
on.
All,
yep. all the drama all over the place. So.
He will guide till the day is
This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
The Martins, I love their tight harmonies, and you guys didn't invent that, but you certainly have trademarked it, I guess. I mean, you guys have a tightness. I am musical, but I'm not that musical when it comes to harmony. So is there a secret in the sauce there? I mean, is there something you guys are doing with your harmonies that is not your typical triad of a chord or something?
Sure. I mean, I think we do different than just regular triad harmonies. But what happens is, I think each of us, and when you start, you mentioned family groups and sibling groups having that type of harmony that's unique to having a family. Mm-hmm. Ours is different than the Isaacs, but yet it's that same kind of family tightness that's there.
Right.
And I just think that's what it comes from. We heard from our vocal coach that it's from us learning to speak from the same set of parents.
Right.
We enunciate the same. We round our vowels out the same. Yeah. That's the type of things that create a little bit tighter a meshing of what we do together
and
vocally.
And it's a dialect and a diction issue as well as genetics. Because the timbre and the way your vocal cords are shaped and everything genetically is formulated very similar because you are related. When we took that time off, Jonathan moved to Iowa. I moved to Tennessee. Judy moved to Georgia. So that diction and dialect, it became diverse.
Wow.
Jonathan started singing solo stuff. We all kind of did our own thing. Judy was doing a solo career. And we started singing as individuals. When we got back on the road, there was definitely the genetic issue was still there. But the other part was out the window. So we had to learn how
for
to
the
blend
first time.
Again.
Sure.
And so that question, if you'd have asked me that question 10 years ago, I would have said, there's no trick to it. Mm-hmm. Now I know little tricks to help with blending because I've had to learn to do that with them.
And it takes listening.
You have to listen. You have to make it's practice. We have to practice.
Pay attention. Pay attention to the guy beside you, or the ladies beside you, and what they're doing, and even breathing and everything else. If you're paying attention, and something is different than it was last night, you can follow that.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Praise Father, Son.
Praise Father, Son.
Praise Father, Son. Let thankful songs your tongues employ. Oh, bless and magnify His name. Be
Praise
Father, Son.
Praise Father, Son.
The Martins, my special guest this week and again next week here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Love their harmony. Love the songs.
But when you're in tune with God as creator and you know exactly how he orchestrates just amazing detail in our lives, you've got harmony of a G, B, D, but you've also got an X, Y thrown in of DNA
that is just
incredible.
Yeah. Oh,
and so when you really are sitting out there and you're listening to just the sheer talent, you know, you've got a trained ear and you're listening, you hear that. When you hear the lyrics you guys are singing, you've got that aspect. And then when you realize just the tightness of family, I mean, there's something so important about that. And let's keep talking about that a little bit with your mom and dad. Just say something nice about them, because I know they're sweet people, because I've met them.
They're very sweet. We have two of the sweetest parents in the world. Our dad was, of course, very, very strict on us, and it was not fun at the time, but it's much appreciated now that we are all parents. And yet they challenged us. I know he's not very musical, but he would ask our mother, did they do it right tonight? And if we didn't, he made sure we were practicing. And they expected us to be excellent for Christ, which to me is what pushed us to do what we do as the best that we can. You're not trying to be better than anyone else or do anything special, more special than anybody else, but we want to do what we do and what God has called us to do to the best of our ability for his glory. And our mom taught us to sing. She had that musical background, learning to play piano as a little girl, taking piano lessons, and was able to me, in a God-inspired way, teach us harmonies as little kids. Before we should have been able to hear harmony, she was singing harmony parts into our ears individually until we memorized our parts. And that's how it was ingrained in us, to where at this point I can't hear a song without hearing a harmony or singing a harmony to it.
Settle on my soul, sweet Jesus. Settle down on me. Settle on my soul, sweet Jesus. Settle down on me.
Settle down on me. Oh, Lord, I want.
The Martins, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Has there ever been any PR type issues that you've had to overcome because Martin is such a kind of a common name, and probably any kind of group that's out there singing that his last name is Martins are going to be known as the Martins.
Right.
Yes.
Have you ever, I mean, you guys are obviously are the ones that come to my mind, but some people may think of their friend down the street.
Where were we? It was in Pennsylvania.
It was Pennsylvania. Yeah.
And we got there, loaded, unloaded all of our stuff, set up our record table, did our sound check. And I don't remember if it was the promoter, but somebody involved in the event thought that we were a local Amish family when they booked us. And we came walking in as the Martins from Arkansas, and they were like, "You are not who we thought we had invited."
Right.
But there we were.
Right.
And that family
and
evidently
was
really popular.
Right.
There was a very well-known local act.
Yeah.
I think they were the Martin family.
Right.
Or the Martin family singers or something
like
that. They're like, "You're not the Martin family singers." We're like, "Well,
yes, but no."
No. That's a hard question.
Well, can you sing Amish?
Yeah, exactly. What is Amish singing?
Right. I think there's actually even now a Martin family circus that's out, which is kind of us on the road sometimes.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But I think it's Dwayne Allen's family and their Martin Family Circus. So there are other Martins out there in that scene.
Precious ones have gone on before. Our Lord waits for no man. Salvation will gain us a ticket to see them and a place in God's final plan. Jesus calls us away.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with the Martins.
Okay, let's move into what I would assume, correct me though, is maybe the early 90s or so.
Okay.
When you guys were really coming on strong.
Right.
Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Well, I am terrible with dates.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was 91 or so, 91 or 2 when we were first appeared with Gaither on the Precious Memories video. That's when... Again, we've been singing full time. I was 21.
Yeah.
And we've been singing full time since I was 14 years old. So, again, we were not an overnight success to us.
Sure.
But it was that appearance on a Gaither Homecoming video that really catapulted our ministry and the awareness of our group on a national level. And I believe it was 91.
Were there other nice breaks that you got before that?
Oh, absolutely. From local things, from a local groups that would let us sing in their intermission time. Yeah. And it began to be bigger and bigger things, to radio, starting to play our music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those little things that kept happening in different periods of our ministry, absolutely, that just kind of kept the thing growing and growing.
Early 90s there, you're starting to do the Gaither stuff. What is your sound? Because I know it's changed a little bit, but
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How has it changed from being 14, Jonathan, and yeah. now you're 21, always kind of this country kind of influence, I think, right?
Well,
kind
it was very, it was a, we were taught by our mom in a very simplistic triad type harmony situation because she could hear harmony, but she wasn't trained in music.
Yeah.
A little few piano lessons was
yeah,
all she had.
Right.
So, but she, we were taught to sing harmony, whoever's singing the melody, then the lower parts right below it. The higher part's right above it, and when the lead goes up, everything moves around it. That's the way we were taught. That's where a lot of our first songs that we had on the radio even have that type of sound. You had that Martin buzz as far as the harmony, but the intricate melody and harmony structure developed later in what became the Martin sound. And that's when we met Michael English and Michael Sykes, and when we first started, we went with Gaither, and they took us in the studio and said, let's try some of this. And they just started singing to us and teaching us some different approaches to harmony and even the way that we perform the melody part of a song. Styling is what they call it. We styled it completely different.
Yes.
And that became, because we would have never thought of that on our own. Honestly don't think we would have. But it became who we were. And now that's what we naturally do. When we go in the studio, we could go in by ourselves and that would be the sound.
I love hearing that part of the story because so many, especially in gospel, so many groups either, and we've talked about natural stuff, family stuff. They just have sung, so they just keep doing it and try to tweak it, but they just do what they have not always known. And you got quartets who just throw it together and they kind of work as they go, but
yeah.
and they make it. But then you guys, you got the family stuff, you brought some material, but then you were I guess, moldable. I mean,
absolutely.
With Sykes and English and Gaither and all these, and they're saying, hey, so you've got the talent, the raw talent, you've got the harmony stuff going on. Then they say, okay, if you guys are willing, let's try this. So
absolutely.
It's kind of like, I mean, you see that more in secular, I think, where where a producer will take you and make you a star.
I will say the Martin sound, in my opinion, is a Michael English brainchild. It was
absolutely.
He heard us singing on the radio doing the triad stuff, and by hearing our vocals said, I think I could do something with that sound. And he took it and he did. Coach us and told us and molded us and gave us some confidence to try new things and helped create and mold what is even now, even today, the Martin sound. So it has to be Martin English.
Unless.
He's still a big cheerleader of yours, I imagine.
Yes.
I saw him watching.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you've had a long relationship with him.
Yes.
You're tight. Okay, I'm about to ask you a question.
Okay.
if at any point during that time were you thinking or a little bit resistant to being told how to sing? I mean, at that point, were you?
It was Michael English.
Okay, that's my answer.
Yeah,
right there.
Because yeah. we were fans of his before. Yeah, yeah. It would. Yeah. Yeah, it would be like whoever your icon hero is in radio. If he were to give you advice, you would say
absolutely,
yeah. yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, you were somewhat hesitant to do certain things he would ask you to do because, again. So Michael English wants you to sing this in front of Michael English.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I'm saying?
And it was intimidating because it was outside of our comfort zone.
Right.
And I wasn't sure. I can't hit that note. I can remember the when you see the Martin sing on the Gaither video that first time, He Leadeth Me. We had actually recorded that song with a musical soundtrack and had performed it for years. He Leadeth Me with music. And he took when Michael and Mark Lowry took us to Gaither to that taping, they said, if Bill gives you a chance to sing, you don't have time to put a soundtrack in. The band's not going to know your song. You need to learn something a cappella. We were like, a cappella? We don't sing a cappella. Are you kidding me? And we had no idea. And Michael said, well, what's a hymn you guys do? We said, well, He Leadeth Me. He said, well, then we're just going to learn that a cappella. So in the hotel room the night before the taping, we learned that song a cappella, and Jonathan sang the verse, but it was an octave lower. And Michael said, no, you need to sing it high. John looked at him and said, dude, I cannot sing it that high. I said, yes, you can. So when you see He Leadeth Me, that was the first step in that Michael English branding of the Martin sound, because that was his arrangement.
Yeah.
It was kind of a tweak of Jonathan's arrangement of He Leadeth Me. Yeah.
So was that taping before or after the public restroom?
That was actually that would be the night before. They rehearsed on a Monday night and started taping Tuesday morning. So everybody, the homecoming friends, are all in this church rehearsing. We're in the lobby of the church foyer because, again, we're not invited to be a part of the video. Gloria Gaither walks into the lobby with a friend of hers, and Mark Lowry grabs her by the arm and says, Gloria, I got some kids. You need to hear these kids sing.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, and she says, let's don't do it here. They're all trying to rehearse in there. So he pushes the door open to the women's bathroom and yells in the bathroom, is anybody in here?
Yeah.
And there's nobody in the bathroom. So we all go in the women's bathroom, and we sing He Leadeth Me to Gloria.
Just to Gloria.
To Gloria Gaither.
Michael English
was there.
Mark Lowry. Norman Holland, he's here this week.
Norman Holland was in there. Mary Cracker.
Yeah, I can't remember several people. And Terry Garland.
Terry Garland was in there. And we sang He Leadeth Me. And what I tell people is that Gloria went home and told Bill what she heard in the bathroom. And the next day, they taped all morning, and they were getting ready for a break for lunch, if I remember correctly. And he says, Michael, where are those Martin kids? And they said, I think they're out there. So they came and got us and brought us in.
Wow.
And he said, just sing before before we take a break, just sing for us before we go to lunch.
Yeah, and my lip, you can't see it on the radio, but my lip was quivering so bad. You can visibly see it on the video. I was scared out of my mind.
Yeah, me
and I'm
too.
I'm not nervous hardly ever, but I was scared that day.
With all those wonderful icons of gospel music that we grew up hearing and singing some of their songs, for me too, I could hear my heart beating in my ear and in my voice as I'm trying to sing.
Yeah.
And I would close my eyes, and when I would open my eyes, there'd be Vestal Goodman. So I'd close my eyes again. You know, it was very nerve-wracking to be in that room trying to sing.
All right, we're going to listen to it. What project is it from?
It was on the Precious Memories video.
Now, here's the song that started it all for them, the Gaither Homecoming video, Precious Memories, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me.
Clasp thy Jordan leadeth me.
And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave, I will not flee. Since God through Jordan leadeth me,
The Martins. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. As Jonathan said, the nervousness there in performing that a cappella when they weren't even known as an a cappella group at the time, and they just had to pull something out to perform there, opening their eyes in the middle of singing a phrase, they'd see legends in the audience, as Jonathan just said, like Vestal Goodman. And then later they'd go to record and perform nightly with Vestal. In fact, this is from the Down by the Tabernacle project in a classic homecoming moment, Rock of Ages. The Martins and Vestal Goodman here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, the sound, the harmony, the Martins. Let me tell you, songs like, of course, He Leadeth Me, Out of His Great Love, Don't Want to Miss a Thing. We're still talking 90s, aren't we?
Yes.
Yep.
For the most part.
Yep.
Yes.
Out of His Great Love, with that, and Now I Follow,
Way to go, man.
Grace. Burden. Timothy's Burden.
Timothy's Burden.
And Grace.
That's all on the first, on the first couple of projects that we did.
Yeah. Those were great.
Thanks.
Those were great. And still, I have to say, radio still plays them as if they're a couple of years old. I mean, we still play them as if they're like. And so people were asking, if you could bring a group to town to do a concert, who would it be? And I say, you know what? If I had my choice, I would bring the Martins. And this was just a few months ago before you guys had really resurfaced. Immensely. I said, I don't know what they're doing right now. I think they're, I hear some buzz. They're maybe getting back, on the road. But the Martins, because we're still playing them so heavy, they're a core artist, but yet they're not readily available for concerts. Yeah. I think it would be wonders. And so I'm so happy that you're back out here. And I'll quit gushing in a moment. But
please don't.
Please don't. Let's talk about if I remember correctly, was it the Dream Big project that had some crossover success?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Good job.
They did.
And,
it's impressive.
Yeah. So, because I remember, a gospel kid in the youth group with all these contemporary folks. Youth group, I succumbed to peer pressure in my teen years, and I went wayward. And I listened to contemporary folks. Okay? And I grew to love the Stephen Curtis Chapmans and the Michael W. Smiths and the Points of Grace.
Point of Grace.
And, right. And the Martins were one of those groups that no matter if I wanted to go into my closet and listen to my old gospel CDs or if I wanted to proudly hang out with the kids and say, I'm listening to your kind of music too. I'm listening to the Martins. Yeah. The Martins were both sides of that coin because you guys were doing a lot of big stuff on contemporary radio.
Because we listened to Stephen Curtis Chapman and the Points of Grace. we did. We listened. We enjoyed that music, and it did begin to influence what was still our sound, but it influenced what we would recreate in a studio.
Yeah. And most people who go crossover have to deal with the original audience saying, hey, why are you abandoning us? And did you get that?
And I can't explain, because there were a lot of groups before us that tried to cross over. And most of them had very limited success, some of them very poor. Decision for them to try to do that for one reason or another. We did not say, we want to cross over to contemporary music. We created that sound and picked those songs and sang them in the studio, and after the fact said, I wonder if CCM radio would play this.
Mm-hmm.
So we just tried it
and
made no apologies about who we were. It really didn't hurt our feelings one way or the other. We were just, again, I go back and I sound like I'm trying to be super spiritual, and I'm not. But God, it was God's doing. It had to be, because we were not smart enough or talented enough to figure that out. Yeah. We just did what felt right, what sounded right to us, what was working for us vocally and emotionally and spiritually, and let the chips fall where they may.
The Martins, with a new project that is out titled New Day. Here's that title track now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I made mistakes. I was defeated. I ran away from the love I always needed till I fell down. That's when you found me. And in my brokenness, you changed everything.
Time on the past when I know that you have given me a new
song from the Martins. In fact, the title track there from the project that's out, it's called New Day. Hey, we're putting a bookmark here. We'll pick back up next week with part two with Joyce, Jonathan, and Judy, the Martins. See you back here next week.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.